All right, good morning, ladies. We're back in Colossians again. It's a sweet place to be. There's no bad place in the Bible. Although I will tell you, in my chronological, I'm in Leviticus, the mildew, and the infected hair, and we could do without. But there it is. God put it there, so we have to be blessed and encouraged. Hard to hear me. And I'm loud.
Yeah.
Because I was having trouble hearing Linda.
Better?
Do I need to get closer? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Step away from the mic. Step to the mic. All right. Here we are. Colossians 1. So last week we were brunching. But I'm sure you were thinking about Colossians 1 the whole time. So one of the things that's important, and for me, I forget. I don't retain, and I kind of never did. My sweet best friend was always my memory, and she's in heaven now. So I have trouble. So I have to review. And I reread, and I even finish something, and it's like, what did I just read? Because, like, when I read my chronological Bible every morning, it's like, I'll be thinking about what I'm doing when I get to work. And then it's like, oh, I got to go back and read that again. Nothing went in. All right? And so it's not a bad thing to review. And, you know, when the Lord repeats things in Scripture, it's purposeful. There's a reason why something's there more than one time. And so as we look at Colossians this morning, I just wanted to encourage you, just keep going back. There's rich fruit in this book. And God wants for us, as we looked at the week before last, to pray for one another, like Paul prayed for the Colossian church, that we would be all these things. So let us do it right now. So we're going to start in verse 9, and this is going to be our prayer this morning. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill us with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has indeed rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful prayer from Paul's letter to the Colossians. May we apply it to our lives and pray for one another that these things indeed would be true. And we ask this all in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. So, when ladies, I'm still in the NIV, I'm sorry. They moved on to the ESV, but so if you're looking at little differences there, that's what it is. So, we're in verses 15 to 23 this week. They're calling this section the Christ hymn, to be perfectly frank. I never heard that before until I read this book, but apparently it's a lot of places. And you know, the truth is I haven't heard of everything. And it's okay to admit that. And so as we go through and look at this, one of the mighty things in Scripture, and just think about what was going on in the life of the church of Colossae. Paul has been imprisoned in Rome. Okay, he's writing to them from Rome. So do you think there might be a fear among them that they too would be imprisoned if they say they're Christians? So there's a reason maybe to not be in front about what you believe and whether it affects who you do business with, who you're friends with, what you talk about. And honestly, when you think about Paul's life prior to his salvation, which was indeed a miraculous intervention by God, just think about how God rescued him. If you go back and look here in the earlier verses in this chapter, look at what God has done and promised. He says in verse 5, there's faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. I mean, do you believe that every day, that there's a hope for you stored up in heaven? That's what encourages us to indeed face those trials and face the difficulties. And then he says here, about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel. So if you're getting the gospel, the good news, he's saying that it's come to you. You didn't have to go look for it. Just like Paul, the gospel's come to us. Just think about that, that Almighty God, creator of the universe, brought the gospel to you. Okay, you know, and indeed we're, like Linda said, we're all the same. We're all in need of that good news being brought to us. So how are we in tune to that? So as we're going through that, we're going to open up and peel back some layers. Because honestly, if you think about this section that we're going to look at today, starting in verse 15, he's talking about the mightiness of Christ and what Christ has done and the beauty of it all. So let's look, we're going to read in verse 15. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. And he says all here a lot. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just think about it. Christ is holding the whole of creation together. If he was not, it would be utter chaos. Okay? All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And here's a... And this is a lot of doctrine in here, ladies. It's deep, deep stuff. You're not going to get it the first time you read it. So as God peels back your understanding, what you do is you're more informed about it. You don't get it. You don't understand it. You're not alone. Okay? And so you just keep going back and you pick away at this treasure. You keep searching for what it means and how God wants to write it on your heart. Okay? And so, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, because Christ is fully God and fully man. No one can explain it. All right? It is true, but we can't even get our heads around his humanness, let alone his infinite supremeness. And they're talking here. He's talking about how God has supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and he's talking about Christ, and through him, Christ, to reconcile to himself, to God, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What an amazing thing. Does everyone understand the cross? No. It's like, but it's so counterintuitive. Like, you think, like, to die he's going to live. But if you look at in nature, seeds die to live. And there's that whole picture. So the simplest things about things that grow is opening our mind to understand the majesty and the largeness of God in a way that we can't understand it. It's like it's intuitive in nature, but we can't explain how that happens. Can you explain how a seed grows? Maybe the science of it, but just think about the miraculousness of that. And it's from creation. He talks about seeds, and it's a picture of Christ, okay? And we don't even get it back there. But that's how God is opening up our minds to understand what on the human plane cannot be understood. It has to be understood in a spiritual way. And so as the Holy Spirit opens up our understanding, we don't realize what he's done, and we kind of take it for granted. But there's depth and learning going on every day in the universe. And so you have to kind of shake yourself awake to pay attention to it. All right, God's at work everywhere, and he's almost always at work in ways we don't expect. Also, his timeline is not our timeline. It always takes longer than we think. All right, just think about that. That the whole way back to communion with God, like we had in the Garden of Eden, had to go through all that time until Christ came and died on the cross. So in the past, everyone who is rescued, saved from the dominion of darkness, is looking to the cross. Everyone after Jesus is looking back. And I probably have it opposite, like the wrong way. One's looking forward to the cross that's coming, and one is looking backward. But they're all believing in the promise. And so that's what God has here for us. And through him, in verse 20, he's reconciling everything, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood. The shedding of blood brought us peace. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body and through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That's the whole picture. Remember when he told Abram to walk before me and be blameless? This is blameless. You're blameless in Christ. You're not blameless in what you've done. You're blameless because you're claiming the promise. Okay, it's deep. I mean, Paul writes incredibly deep things, okay? So once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. And here's the tension that we face in life. And the enemy wants to make us feel like we're not good enough, and indeed we are not. But God doesn't see us. He sees our trust in Jesus. He sees Jesus in our place. And so that's the beauty of what we can rest in. But now he has reconciled you. We're reconciled by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Uh-oh. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope. There's that hope. That hope that was up in verse 5. The hope stored up for you in heaven. Okay? From the hope held out in the gospel. So the gospel is something we're expecting to see the fruit of, even though we're currently receiving the fruit of. So it's like, remember, I think I had given you a handout about the process of salvation. It's, I am saved. I was saved. All right. I am saved. I was saved. And saved. How about that? Like totally gone. Well, I know the truth of it. So if you want more, you got to go dig. Yeah, I handed it out. So it's just like, but my memory is, it's like when you try to define grace. And one of the things I'm doing in my chronological Bible this year is underlining favor as I go through. And the favor of God is a mighty thing, and it can be interpreted grace. Grace is unmerited favor. So it's getting what you don't deserve, okay? And so the grace of God is a mighty thing. And so this hope held out in the gospel, it's held out for us to cling to. We don't have to face what the world says is important. Okay, so listen to this. This is the next part of verse 23. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Okay, so here it is, ladies. The gospel has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Where do we get that? Well, we get it in a couple of places. We get it in Romans chapter 1. So if you want to go there, you can, but I'm going there. Romans chapter 1. Okay. So Romans chapter 1 is Paul's another very deep doctrinal letter where he's talking about what man's state is before God. Okay. He starts in verse 16 talking about the gospel, that he's not ashamed of it, that it has the power of God for everyone who believes, okay? And that he's a righteousness from God is revealed, that is by faith from first to last. So that's the whole looking toward the cross or looking back from the cross, okay? And so he's saying, just as is written, the righteous will live by faith. So you either live by faith before the cross and you live by faith after the cross because you're still trusting in that promise. Okay, but look in verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Okay, and here's the pivotal sentence or two sentences. It says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Okay, so he's saying that, just like he said in Colossians, that the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. How sweet is God that he's let everybody know. Like Linda said, we're all the same. Okay, it's what you do with it that makes a difference. All right, and so as we've come through here, he's talking about imagery. The imagery from God goes back to Genesis chapter 1, where he says, let us make man in our image. Okay, and the next kind of pivotal place it talks about images is Exodus in chapter 20, verse 4, which is the command not to make an idol. Don't make an image. Okay? And right after this, not even 40 days later, they're making a golden calf. How do you make golden calves in your life? Because you do. Okay? So you need some discernment to analyze your thinking and your behavior. So not even 40 days, they've seen incredible miracles. For 10 plagues, the plague of the firstborn, they've looted all of Egypt by making Egypt predisposed to give away all their wealth to them as they go, and they're at the edge. This is why the chronological Bible is so powerful, because to me, every year that I read this story about how they get to the edge, and the cloud that was in front of them goes behind them and separates them, and one side's in the dark and the other side is in the light. It's just like, what a picture of you're in the darkness or you're in the light. You can't be on both sides. And so as God brings them to the end of themselves at the edge of the sea, he provides the way out by miracle. Does he provide it early? No, he provides it the moment they need it. And that whole picture of as they are going and traveling these 40 years, he says that he took them by the not short road. He purposely led them the long way. And what was the long way supposed to do? It was supposed to give them the opportunity for repentance. If you look in 2 Peter 3:5, I thought of this after we discussed it last time, because I talked about God's goal after the garden, and they got removed from the garden, is repentance. His whole goal of all of this journey and trial and trouble is to make us aware that he is guiding our steps. So here, it's talking about the day of the Lord. I want you to, in verse 2 Peter 3:2, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water with water. By water also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget, okay? And honestly, he says over and over in scripture, in Exodus, that you need to keep telling the generations to come and reminding yourself as you tell them that God is in control of all of this. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Okay, so that's his promise. Right there in the Word of God, he's telling you he wants everyone to come to repentance. Does everyone? No. People reject God every day. But he says now in 22, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. So if we look at how Christ is described in this section of scripture, he's the image of the invisible God. And think about it, in pagan times, but also I feel like we're in pagan times today, people are always wanting an image. They want to see something to worship. And God has frowned upon that. He has purposely not allowed that. Okay? He is the living God, but he is the invisible God. So the only way to know him is through the Spirit, and we don't see him. And in fact, except for Moses seeing him pass by, he doesn't present himself. He's the image of the invisible God. So that God can help us to understand him, he puts his image in Christ. And Christ is the firstborn over creation. He's created all things in heaven and earth, all created for him and through him. He's before all things. He holds all things together. He's the head of the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from among the dead. In everything, and that means everything, he has supremacy. Okay, so there is no one better. Indwelt with the fullness of God, he reconciles all to God in heaven and earth. He made peace through the cross, and he shed his blood for us, ladies. It's a sweet thing to know that that's so personal, okay? And so God wants for us then to recognize through the message of the gospel, which is the message of Christ, that he cares for us, that he cares about what we do. In fact, you know how I love sharing the nieces and nephew stories. Well, this week was interesting. The girls all have a lot of homework, and Ariel is going to be 17, and she had a 5-page paper due, and she hadn't started. So, it's due on Friday, and they were at my house on Tuesday. So I said to her, you know, here's a sweet solution to that. I said, ask God to multiply your time. I mean, do you ever do that? I'm serious. I mean, laugh if you want, but when I am under pressure and I feel like there's things that need to be done, I ask God to multiply my time. So then we had a discussion. I'm not a pill person, and so she had her period, and she wanted something for her cramps. She says, do you have any ibuprofen? I said, well, I do, but I said, I think it expired in 2016. And she said, well, and her mother's very precise about stuff like that. So anyway, I said, you're welcome to it, but I don't know how potent it would be. I don't think it would kill you. But anyhow, she didn't take it. I said, well, here's another thing. I said, why don't you pray instead of taking a pill? She goes, Aunt Cindy, I don't think I can choose that. She goes, I just need help right away. I said, well, you could help faster than that with Jesus. And so I said, it doesn't always deliver, but I said, it puts you in the mind to ask. So it's like simple things God cares about. And so like, as we go through the weeks, kind of like teaching, and they know that I read the chronological Bible. So Shiloh, the next sister who is going to be 16, and she says, well, I want a chronological Bible. Will you give me a chronological Bible for my birthday? So then Ariel piped up. She wants one too. So I bought some chronological Bibles to give to them. So it's like a sweet thing as you model, and God understands how we're prone to disbelief. Okay? And so you have to fight against it. Like prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Okay, so we are prone to put things in the place of God. And that's why he doesn't want us to create an idol, an image in his place. There is nothing that we could create that could replace that spirit-filled invisibleness. Okay, and so he's invisible for a purpose. He's making you search. Okay, he's calling you to believe what he says and put it into practice. And so, ladies, it's almost 10:30. It's gone like lightning. Okay, and so here's Paul. He's given this whole story, and he's wanting them to be mindful of what has gone. So I'm going to wrap up in, it's Bible day, Hebrews chapter 3. Oh no, it's Hebrews chapter 1. Sorry. Okay, this is a sweet statement. They're not sure who wrote this book. Some people say Paul, some people don't, but whoever wrote it, it's here, and it has powerful truth. And this is, again, in this first section, my little heading here says, the Son superior to angels. But I want you to get the context here of what he's saying. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, that's today, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Do you understand how sweet it is that we have language? That God is even making himself known by the alphabet, all right? It is, we take it for granted, the ability to communicate. The Son is the exact radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Spoke everything into existence. After he had provided purification for sins, this is dying on the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's our Jesus. Sweet, sweet Savior. Dear Lord, how wonderful it is to know nothing is too difficult for you. That you are the mighty, supreme God who reveals himself to us in such beautiful, small ways. Lord, you care about the things that burden us. You care about our journey and the difficulties that we face. Lord, even our own poor choices. Lord, you recognize and you want to encourage us to draw on your strength more. Lord, indeed, we're thankful for the hope that comes through the gospel. May we claim it today and be encouraged that you are at work in our lives in mighty ways. Lord, we thank you for this description of your character and your presence and your power. Lord, may we be mindful of how humbling that is, Lord, that you would come to earth and die for us. Lord, we thank you this morning for that gift to us. Lord, what grace, what mercy. And we are humbled. As we go forward, Lord, and apply the knowledge of this truth through our lives, Lord, we ask that you would encourage our belief, Lord, and help us in our unbelief, to be all glory and power. In the name of Jesus, amen.